Shosh Avreichim, on the bottom of page Chav Tes. The Rebbe is explaining that the nefesh of a Jew is in a state of hispailus, oftentimes different types of hispailus, of excitement, of agitation, and so on. But the person who feels this turbulence inside of himself, or some sort of what the Rebbe calls imi imus, an unpleasantness of something, so he mistakes it for something else, and he tries to quiet down this turbulence by seeking all different outlets, hoping that in doing so, that he's not going to feel this unpleasantness anymore. And over time, what happens is that the person's hispailus is totally lost under these piles and piles of the Rebbe calls of garbage, of tilei off of ashpa, that have been piled on top of the nefesh. He's not able to identify this feeling, this hispailus, or this imus, for what it really is, which is the screaming of one's soul. And he continues on the bottom of Chav Tes, that we started this maybe, but let's just pick up over here on the bottom of Chav Tes. That the Rebbe says, "Vleirak is yilolus ugnichas hanefesh pilvad that yishma zniachem l'shma." Not only the cries, the krachses of the nefesh, which are the outcome or the product of the person's averus and the person's longing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's covered up, but that's not all that he neglects listening to. Or hears them in a crooked and darkened and crooked way, as we were learning last week, and he doesn't know what he's hearing. The irony is that the person also is incapable of feeling great joy, that the nefesh feels it, the soul feels, the nefesh feels the simcha b'Hashem, and the person can't feel this either. Or yagish eze hisrakshis v'loyeda mahu margish. A person feels some hisrakshis, but again, he doesn't know what he's feeling. Kilu hirgish ha'ish es simchasa b'Hashem v'snoim al yoysa b'ahavir v'yira. If the person would only feel and would know what this is, he would be able to experience this joy in Hashem and the pleasantness of the aliyah of the nefesh, of the neshama, b'ahava, v'yira, of love and fear, b'shashum, b'skayri, lo yisbrach b'tayra, tefillah, v'siyas ha-mitzvahs. At the time that the nefesh is drawing close to Hashem, b'shashum, b'tayra, tefillah, and v'siyas ha-mitzvahs, if we'd be able to experience the joy of the neshama, the joy of the nefesh, when we're learning, when we're davening, when we're doing mitzvahs, we don't feel that at all. So we don't feel that, we don't experience that. So we're learning and davening and so on, Without the simcha that inside of us the nefesh is feeling, but we don't experience that. Ubefat b'shabbos yom tovim ki oz lo bekal hayayil yitzel achikah achakach minayim elyon hazeh lachtir chas shalom af legashmei, and particularly when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif. What the Rebbe says, when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif, ki oz loy v'kal hayol oylu liyitzol achiko achar kach minayim elyon, that if a person would truly taste of the simcha of his own neshama through Shabbos and Yontif, it would be very, very difficult for the Yetzer Hara to pull him away from that afterwards. It would be when a person's very, very happy and a person's enjoying something, a person's very excited, it's hard to pull him away. But it's not hard to pull us away from our davening, our learning, and our mitzvahs when we don't feel the simcha in our davening, learning, mitzvahs. So it's not hard to be pulled away from such learning, such Yiddishkeit. the Yiddishkeit would be filled with that simcha and we would feel that simcha, so then the Yetzirah wouldn't be such a distraction. But since we don't experience that simcha, that the Nisham is experiencing. Every time we daven, every time we learn any mitzvah we do, the Nisham is experiencing tremendous, tremendous simcha. But because of our issues, we don't feel that simcha. So Mela, the Yetzirah comes along, and it doesn't take much for the Yetzirah to distract a person or to bring a person down, because the experience of learning and of davening and of kiyum mitzvahs is not an experience that gives a person that feeling of joy. So Mela, you're usually distracted. A person looks forward to distractions, like in Lahavdil, you know, sitting in class. So in school, growing up, any possible thing that was different from the regular schedule, kiyadua, like, you know, it was a fire drill. It was like the most gewaldige thing, just to have a fire drill, because there were 2 minutes, you know, 2-3 minutes that were different, something, just to get out of this rut, not to be stuck in this inyan. And there's an excitement that comes with that. So a person wants there to be a distraction, a person wants. And then when it comes to the Yetzirah, certainly the Yetzirah can take hold of a person whose avodah is lifeless, is without any cheshek. But if we would feel that simcha in avodah Hashem, so then the Rebbe says, it would be very, very hard for the Yetzirah to schlep us away from that pleasantness and that delight of avodah Hashem that's besimcha. To cause it to go astray, it would be very hard for the Yetzirah to do that. If a person himself would be able to hear Shiras Nafshel Hashem, the song of his soul to Hashem, if he'd be able to hear that, if he would be able to hear the song of his neshama singing shiras v'sishbachas, v'shiras, next page, v'shiras ruchav v'neshmosai chayiv yechidah shalai, and he would hear the song of all the levels of his soul, nefesh ruch neshama chayin yechidah hakomas l'kal nafshay l'shir ka'achas, that his nefesh ruch neshama chayin yechidah are all rising up together to sing with one voice. L'melech HaKovet, Baruch B'Shira V'Zimra, to the Melech HaKovet who chooses and who wants our songs. If a person would hear that when he's learning, when he's davening, when he's doing a mitzvah, that inside of him there's this whole like symphony that's taking place. The Yachad, and together, the Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chai Yechid and Nechlolos B'Lahav Ahava, are all joined together and brought together in the flame and the fire of Ahava, of love, Itzahala, and joy. Shekol Nishmais Yisrael, not only your own personal, it's not only your own personal joy, your own personal simcha in Hashem Yisbarach, but the Neshama connects to all Nishmais Yisrael. There are no walls, there are no boundaries, there's nothing that separates. In the world of the Neshama, there's nothing that separates between one Jew and another Jew. So not only would a person be able to hear the symphony of his own Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chai Yechida singing praise to Hashem, but he'd be able to be brought up together in the Lahavesh, in the fiery song of all Nishmas Yisrael. Of all Yiddish and the Shamas. And it's not only the Neshamas who are present in the world at this time. To be joined together with all Nishmas Yisrael in this generation, and all Nishmas Yisrael from Gan Eden, all the Neshamas. This isn't something that the Rebbe is imagining. This is something that was described by Tzaddikim, and something that is explained in great detail in the Zohar Kaddish, in the Kisvei Ha'ari, in the Svarim HaKadoshim. V'ayodam malachi mor mishari reikel im kol bria asher b'shamayim v'asher mitachas la'aretz. And this song is also the song of all the malachim, of all the angels. And it's also the song of the entire creation, of everything that exists. The Perek Shira. The Perek Shira tells us, Chazal Megalotas, the Shira of everything, that every single thing in this world has a Shira. And there's this unbelievable Shira that's taking place of all the Shiras of every single Nishmas Yisrael and every single Malach and every single creature in the world. V'kulam yachad mishayrevim. They're all singing together. Kulam yachad mizamrim. V'kulam yachad ma'aritzim ma'akdishim v'shem ha'kadosh ha'gadol ha'gibah v'hanayra. Lu sham ha'ish af rachash lachash mizeh. If a person would only hear the tiniest whisper of that song, just a little bit of that song, a tiny, tiny little whisper of that song, kiaz es kol atzmai, im kol ritzenaisa, then the person with his entire being and with all of his ritzenis, his desires, machshavaisav, his thoughts, diburav, amasav, his words and his actions, bepoil mamish, rak bilti l'Hashem levad ha'im akadish, everything in his life he would completely dedicate to Hashem. He would devote everything, his entire being. He would devote everything completely to Hashem Isbav. Aval milfanav hakol sogu mimenu umimenu nistar. The sad thing is that everything is kept, everything is closed. We don't hear this, we don't see this. It's completely unknown to us. It's completely unknown. So a person davens, he doesn't hear any of this, he doesn't feel any of this. He does a mitzvah, he's learning. He doesn't feel any of this unbelievable, immeasurable simcha that's taking place and the shira that's being sung in all of creation. So the Rebbe is saying that if there would be one crack in the shell, and a person would be able to hear this shira, this song, so all of his diburim, his tzinus, his machshavas, everything, his meisim would be for the rest of his life. He wouldn't be able to take himself away from Hashem Yisbarach. And now he says to the bocher, to the young man who truly desires avodas Hashem and wants to rise in the way of chassidus, Hey Samech, Bamesh Amarnu Lecha B'zeh. Rejoice in what I'm telling you. Kevin Shalai Yisrag Shuyais Chadoshos Alach Levakesh. He said, what we're going to talk about, we're going to learn about in this Sefer, is not how to experience something new. Shalai Yisrag Shuyais Chadoshos Alach Levakesh. We're not talking about seeking some new Yisragshos. Something different. It's not that you have to spend your life waiting for some sort of a hispilus to come from Shemayim. Everything is inside of you. This is the beginning of the Avodah, the recognition, is the realization that everything is inside of you. It's all there. Everything's in place. Hisrakshus becha. The Hisrakshus is already inside of you. You experience that only as some excitement for something of this world, some narishkeit, or as some sort of it could be in the other way, it could be some unpleasantness, and you attribute it to other things in life. But if the person will be ripped open, which we're going to learn how to do, so then you would see what it really is, and you would hear what that is, and you would know what it is. And it's not something that you have to receive from another place or to hear from somewhere else. It's inside of you. And a Jew, be'etzim, of course, a Jew is an ish misragish. He is a misragish. So the person says, I don't feel anything, I have no feelings. Like when Rabbi Tzadik came for the first time to the Me'ashilach to Ishbitzer, and the whole Shabbos that he didn't say a word, and he refused to come and sit down next to the Me'ah Shiloach. And Ishbitzer was calling him over and he didn't come. And finally, only Vashal Lesudas was in the dark, and then the Me'ah Shiloach was talking very quietly, and all of a sudden there was screaming, Mamish in the back, and Tzaddik was screaming that the Rebbe is burning me, the Rebbe is throwing fire and acid on me, he's burning me. And then the Ishbitzer said, what is it? So Reb Tzaddik said, I don't have a heart, Rebbe, Chamishkan hearts. I don't have a heart. So the Me'ah Shiloach said to him, you have a heart, but you have to be malav lev your heart. You have a lev, but you have to be malav lev the lev. You have to make your heart more heartsick. You have a heart, but you have to make it heartsick. That's what Shabbos HaChodesh, Parshas HaChodesh, that's... Everything is here. The union of Parshas HaChodesh, which is Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshi Hashana. All this chadshes comes from Nisan. All this chadshes comes from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, where everything is there, just like everything is, all the grass, all the tree, everything is there beneath the earth, but it needs to be mezgala, it needs to come out, but everything is in place, and in Rosh Chodesh, in the time of Nisan. And the whole world is mislavlev. The whole world is enheartened with new kaiches to be able to come out and to be able to be heard. That's what happens in the month of Nisan. That's what it means when it says in the piyut in the Yitzis of Shabbos HaGadol that Nisan is a month which Yeshua's amakifos. It's surrounded, completely surrounded and engulfed in Yeshua's and salvations. Which we don't see that, we don't feel that. But the whole month of Nisan is completely filled, surrounded with Nisan and the flows. But if the person's heart is still, if the surface is so hard, so then it can't come out, it can't come through. Stevie says that everybody's a misragish. Hisragish b'chavagam at the ish misragish. You are an Ish Misragis. The Ishbitzer was telling Reb Tzaddik, of course you have a heart. Of course you're an Ish Misragis. You just don't feel that you're an Ish Misragis. You don't sense the Hisrakshis that's within you. You don't feel that you're a Misragis. V'alecha l'hishtada rak l'hakir aischa. What you need to learn, what's going to have to happen, is that you're going to have to make an effort, and that's why it's not something that happens on its own. You're going to have to make an effort. Rak lahakir oischa. V'sasher b'cham esrachish. To recognize what's inside of you, what's taking place within you. This is on a very, very small and simple level, you know, tasted when a person... There's this a mistake that a person thinks of. You have a lot of the boys, they'll go to Eretz Yisrael. Go to Eretz Yisrael for a year. For 2 years, and they believe that there's something, that there's some great change that has taken place in their lives. And they come to yeshiva, so you know, until for the average boy, for months it could be still the baby stuff, all kinds of things, and running around, going to trying to go to town all the time. At some point. So a person begins to feel the excitement of learning and the change and so on. And he attributes that to the voices that he's hearing outside of himself, who are the wonderful teachers in Rebbeim and the sounds of Yerushalayim and the sounds of Eretz Yisrael that are outside of himself. The truth of the matter is that the Inyan of Eretz Yisrael and the Inyan of Yerushalayim and the Inyan of being in yeshiva is that once a person is outside and is separated from the normal sounds that have been blasting in his brains his entire life, so in Mele he's able to hear the Hisrachashus, he's able to hear the sound of his, a little bit of the sound of what's inside of him. It's not that something new and artificial or something from outside that's generated and penetrates into this kid's heart. is that the kid's heart, for the first time in his life, is not being completely surrounded by all kinds of kailas that are against what the heart has been saying all along. So what happens is a kid sits in Yerushalayim, he sits in yeshiva, and then it's 3, 4, 5 months of the sound of Torah and the sounds of Yerushalayim, and at some point the sound outside and the sound inside meet, because that klipa, that shell that surrounds a person growing up and hearing all the other narishkeit and hearing all the tumult, so that klipa is cracked. And once the klipa is cracked, because the person is away from all the noises, so when the klipa is cracked, so mimela, there's rakshas that was there all along, that excitement that was there all along, you're able to feel. And the simcha of being a Jew that was there all along, it's not something new, it's not something different. You know, he frumed out. We're all frummed off, or whatever the opposite of that would be. There's no hergish for anything. There's no hergish. So a person can sit in shul and go every single day or Shabbos with sit in shul. Nothing. Doesn't feel a thing. He does a mitzvah. He puts on tefillin. He doesn't feel anything.
Out.
Yeah. So he doesn't feel anything. And it's not. And then he looks at the kid that goes there to sell it. He got, you know, it's weird. Something happened to him. He changed. No, we're the ones that have changed. Every Jew is be'etzem a misragish. Every Jew is a misragish. And the kid comes back and tries to explain to his parents that he really loves learning. It makes him feel good. It makes him feel happy. And the parents can't believe that. How could you be happy with that? How could that possibly make you happy? I'm not even talking about the mother that didn't learn. She doesn't know that. She never learned Gemara. But even the father says, how could that make you so happy? How could it make you happy enough, like, to want to stay a second year? How could it make you so happy, like, to akidakach, to not want to make me happy by doing what I want you to do? That you're prepared to get into a whole fight with me, you know? Because I had your life planned out for the last, you know, 20 years and something. I did it before I had your life planned out. Whatever, you know, whatever I wasn't much like, I had planned out for you all this time. And you're prepared to go against all of that? What, for what? For the same black Gemara that for the last 20 years of my life I'm running away from. And I'm trying to forget the Agmas Nefesh that I had, you know, sitting someplace in Brooklyn or Queens or wherever it was. They went to the five towns usually in those days. But sitting someplace, right? So, and that makes you so happy that you're prepared to take away my happiness? To make me unhappy? And the kid says, yeah. And then there are fights. Right? There are fights. And they're all kinds of deals. I'll give you a month. Like, God forbid, like he's negotiating, like, you know, for something bad. I'll give you a month. I'll give you 5 weeks, and I'll throw in an extra day to end up with the kaisel. You can go to the kaisel. I'll throw it in the deal, but then you have to swear to me that you'll be in an Ivy League school for the next 40 years. You know, all these like deals that people are working out. It's such a hell and a hester that we're living in. And please don't make a mistake. I'm not saying that there aren't practical considerations and one should be mafki himself to the world and parents don't have the right to worry about a kid's panos. I'm not giving that whole part of the talk, you understand? It's obvious that there are practical considerations that parents have to worry about their children, and we all worry about our children, that they should take care of and young that they have to take care of. Having said that, that's also all a hester panos. It's all a hester panos. It's all part of the helam and hester of what we're living in. And all of those dinosaurs, probably not capable to say that. But on the level of high alma of this world and hishtadlus, certainly parents have the right to be concerned about protim and about inyana. But it's always a pella by me. It's a pella by me. I had the same thing many, many years ago when I wanted to go, and my mother was connected, you know, for all the whatever reasons. My mother was very much connected and to go back and the whole thing. And my father said, it makes him happy. Let him go. He's happy. So now that sounds very silly, right? So what if it makes somebody happy to do something really dumb? Okay, it takes a hergish of a Jew to know that being happy learning is not dumb. That being happy learning is the tachlis of life. The fact that you never felt that and your kid is feeling it, you say that. If you'd be a really courageous father, you take off a month and make a couple less dollars, take off a month, which is really unrealistic, right? Take a couple of weeks off and spend a couple of weeks in yeshiva there to serve your kid. We have some chaverim that have done that. Then they get happy too. What would be so bad if every Jew would be happy? But then the wife gets nervous. Or he's going to get Mishig and he's going to stay too, and then she's going to have to argue with both of them to bring him home to like last with them both. You know, bring them both in for the for reality. I mean, it's all a hell of a has to. When a person, that bocher, what he's tasting in yeshiva, it's not something new. It's not something different. It's the simple hergish of a Jew who rejoices, who's part of this unbelievable symphony that the Rebbe is describing, of the song to Hashem is Baruch. But for the first time in his life, he's able to hear it. Because all of the years, he wasn't able to hear it. Because of all the other noise. And the parents don't get it, because the parents, b'chlal, don't hear this. They can't imagine, what is it that's making you so crazy? Why can't you sit over here? What's the matter with you? Sit over here? All the different svaras. And it's a very frustrating thing. When one person hears something, the other person doesn't hear something. It's a very frustrating thing. God forbid, if you have somebody that's deaf and someone that hears that there's a fire alarm or that they're screaming fire and the person doesn't hear anything and the other one hears that there's something, an emergency, and the children get sebrochim because their parents don't hear this. And I'm dealing with this all the years. The children get sebrochim. And how can we figure out? What can we do to figure out how to talk to my father? I was on the phone yesterday like this with a married young man. A gewaldige chosh of a young man. That what did they, you know, that whatever, the in-laws, this, that, you know. And they don't hear what the kids are hearing. And then we have this clash. And if the parent would hear a shemitz of that song, so the same parent when he goes to shul, he doesn't hear anything. Or when he does a mitzvah, he doesn't hear anything. And by zmiris, he doesn't. The same parent is telling the kid what to do with his life, and the kid has heard something. And the parents could also, but what are they going to do? The parents feel that so the parents are stuck in a certain matzah. But the kid has heard something, and the kid has seen something. And there's a certain shell that's been broken, a klipa that's been broken, and the parents see that the kid is so excited and so happy, and they make him feel like a total idiot, that this is some sort of a thing that you were brainwashed and it's just a passing phase. The real tachlis of life is what I do, or what I want you to do. Right? And then you can come home every day and gripe and correct and complain, like me. And spend your whole life, without a hergish of a tefillah, without a hergish of a Torah, without anything. But, looking forward to some 2-week vacation your whole life. So, it's very hard. But if there'd be a way somehow to give that parent an opportunity to hear a little bit of that song, then they would see that what the child is experiencing is something that is true, and that gives that child for the first time maybe in his life a feeling of excitement of simcha, of joy, and then parents to take that away from a child. Again, I'm not talking about neglecting practical considerations and all of those things, but the simcha of a kid. And that he should feel good about himself, and that he should feel strong about his Yiddishkeit his entire life. Because you look at the difference. Look at the difference between the kids, the generation that since it started some years ago, the kids are able to get to yeshiva and they're able to go and spend some time. And what's been happening the last years, they're able to get away from everything and go. Look, it's a different surah. There's a different surah of Yiddishkeit. And where's that coming from? It's coming from from so many of those kids who had to fight and scream and kick and yell to get, a Shana Beis, or to get 1 year, or whatever it was, that they scream and yell and kick. And if not for that screaming and yelling, And if not for so many of the parents finally giving in, because sof kol sof, Jews are soft-hearted and Jews want their kids to be happy. Lamaise, they let them go back very often, right? Because they're good people. If not for that, what would the tzur of Yiddishkeit be? There wouldn't be a tzur of Yiddishkeit bechlal. Well, what was happening in America before all of this started? Before Chevra started to go and to Eretz Yisrael and to get away from this narishkeit, from the noise, and to be able to what was happening? Where was it going? Where was it going? Those of us who are here from remember the 60s, where was it headed? Where was it headed? The only people who were screaming were about being Jews were, a couple of chassidim and a couple of shtarke lutfaks and Rebbeinu Kahana. Who else was yelling? Nobody else was yelling. It was just slipping away. And then something happened, and there was this idea of being able to get away, and for kid to be able to be in Yerushalayim. And it started, Baruch Hashem, Ischashis came from it. And after all these years, and having seen how this is an unbelievable way of trying to repair, and beyond repair, but repair all the damage of the first 16, 17 years of a kid's life, where he was exposed to a lifeless, empty Yiddishkeit. And he has an opportunity to see a Yiddishkeit that's filled with chiyus. So you would think that after all these years and the parents seeing how this has saved Yiddishkeit, so you would think that they would be more willing to cooperate. And I said to this tzaddik yesterday, I said, I thought, because his in-laws are very, very chashuv people, and they're very, very big Zionists. So I said, everybody's a Zionist until it comes to your own kid. It's an interesting thing. There's such big Zion. In other words, if God forbid you don't march in the parade, you're Isid. But if you tell this, I said, forget it. Let's stop talking. Don't march down Fifth Avenue, wherever the parade is. I don't know where it's Fifth Avenue. So don't do that march. Why don't you march down Rehov Yafa? Not my kid. I want everybody else to do that. I only want to be a Zionist. I want to talk about Zionism. And I want to have big programs in the school about Zionism. I'm not making fun of the programs or about any of that stuff. But when it comes down to it, my kid's not going to Eretz Yisrael. There's no way. No way. So what happened to all? And it's interesting. But the couples, the thousands and thousands of the non-Zionist couples that are right at this moment, filling up all of Arzeh Habira and Machal and all of Yerushalayim in the Mir Yeshiva and all these places, and their parents were not brought up with the parade, yeah, and the kids are able, and the kids are going for a year, 2 years, 3 years to Eretz Yisrael and staying in Kollel for another few years. How do you explain that exactly? Do you have a way of explaining that? There's only one explanation. The explanation is if Torah is precious to you, and if your Shemaim is precious to you, and you understand that in that place, if Torah and your Shemaim and Eretz Yisrael, where the kids will be able to hear, when I say kids, I mean even the married ones, that they'll be able to hear that sound of what the Rebbe's talking about, and the shell is broken, and they'll be able to grow as Jews. If Yiddishkeit is precious to you, then that's a wonderful option. But if your main idea of the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael is what? Just that my kid should somehow not go off the derech. So 1 year should be enough for that. And if the kid says, I'm on the derech, but I'd like another year. So he says, I only wanted you not to be off the derech. I didn't say that I want you to really like be deep on the derech. I just didn't want you to be off the derech. For that, I know that a lot of my neighbors, their children got back on the derech after 1 year. Why do you need 2 years to be on the derech? Because nobody wants, God forbid, this kid shouldn't put on film. Nobody wants the kid should be Machal Shabbos. Nobody wants that the kid should, God forbid, go off and marry six or something, Chas v'Shalom, right? So they figure, give the kid a year, he'll come back with enough oomph in his Yiddishkeit to put on film and marry a Jew and live happily ever after. And then march on Fifth Avenue. And march on Fifth Avenue while other Jews go to Eretz Yisrael, and other Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, and other Jews are in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and march on Fifth Avenue, and he'll scream about. And anybody that doesn't march in the parade is not a Jew. But then it's a funny thing, but then the same one who wasn't marching in the parade marches all the way to Yerushalayim, and so then what happens? He becomes a Jew. But he didn't go to the parade. But he went to Eretz Yisrael. Now how do you work that stuff out? In the idea of these so-called Zionists, they're not Zionists. They're bechlam not Zionists. It has nothing to do with Zion. They're Jews that love Yiddishkeit, Bamis, and they want it to be good for Jews, and they want to make sure that there are a lot of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, as long as it's not me and my kid. They want to make sure that Eretz Yisrael is thriving, because we all do. And they want to make sure that there are a lot of people that are sitting there, and a lot of yeshivas, and a lot of good things going on in Eretz Yisrael, but not my kid. And I understand that, because we love our children. And we don't want to be apart from our children. And I'm not saying that I would do well if my kids decided they want to pick up and go. I'm not saying that I would do well. But I would hope that I would be able to laugh at myself and cry at myself and not believe in the Irishkeit that I would be saying, like, why don't you stick around for another 40 years? I would hope that I would laugh and cry and know what a liar I am. That my whole life I'm teaching about certain things and I'm talking about certain things. My whole life. And then when it comes to my kid, which is my pneumis, I can't let go. I would hope that I would lie about it. I would cry, I mean, that I would say that. I would realize what a liar I am. That's why I'm this spoiled. I'm saying, hey, your in-laws are gewaltige Zionists. They run every single program and every single yeshiva in the world and every single yeshiva in Golis about supporting Israel and Israel and Israel and Israel. And if you don't go to the parade, you're mamish not yid. But on the side where nobody else hears about it and it's not announced from the pulpit, they're telling their kid, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, we're not talking to you again. How does that work out? Mesiris Nefesh. When it takes Mesiris Nefesh to be a Zionist, instead of like handing out flyers someplace on the street and talking about Eretz Yisrael, Vaita, talking about Eretz Yisrael. But the pneumius of Eretz Yisrael. And how many of us it's possible to share with our children and somehow to do it, the chavis. I know it sounds very impractical. But there are fathers who have done that. There are fathers who have taken off and gone to Eretz Yisrael, not on a mission. I make fun of those things. Not to go on a mission. A mission. Which, usually means a free trip for a rabbi. They don't go on a mission. They go to yeshiva to sit with a kid for a week or two. Because they see that this makes my kid mamish excited and happy. So I want to know what that's about. Because when I was a kid, we didn't have such opportunities. It wasn't like that, so we didn't have such a thing. So I want to see. I want to what that is. Not just to go, intercession to stop off at, every single glatt kosher restaurant in Yerushalayim and go tour by, this and a tour by that and go to Chevron, a little Kevrochel, right there, a Heimgang. But Be'emes. To see what is it that my child, and it's very hard. Obviously, in a week you can't feel it. 2 weeks, but a hergish something. To see what it is in yeshiva and the life in yeshiva and to be there with the rebbeim and a Shabbos in yeshiva. But it's hard to be a Shabbos in yeshiva when you have the larom looming in the background, right? But all of these things are from this is from what we call here in America Zionism. It's all the biggest bluff in history. I'm not talking about anything about any political union. I'm not talking about Zionism politically, so don't say this is an anti-Zionist. I've been here long enough. I'm not that dumb to give speeches, about Zionism or anti-Zionism. That's not my union. I'm talking about Yiddishkeit and what Jews claim Eretz Yisrael means to them in theory. But the pile, nothing from nothing. Garnish McGarnish, but pile, except an occasional trip to try to spend a lot of money to help Jews out. That's all beautiful. Zahu. But when it comes to anything in pneumius, like the Rebbe ends this sentence, Aval milfonav hakol sogur u'mimenu nista. It's all closed, shut. Nothing. So that's what he's saying. V'gam ata ish misragish. We're in the middle of the second paragraph. He said, you should know that you're an ish misragish. Every Jew is a misragish. It's an ish misragesh. It's just what is it that opens up that place in you? What is it that pulls away the veil? What is it that cracks the surface? Of course, every yid is a misragesh, and an emes a real histragesh, not stam. That's what the Rebbe says. You have to know what's going on inside of yourself. You have to recognize yourself, and you have to know what's inside. And that's why I went through the whole thing. That at least when somebody gets away from all of this stuff, so he begins to hear what's going on inside of himself. It's not something from outside, it's not something new. It's not that he's being programmed or brainwashed or anything like that. It's just that who you always have been, but you never met that part of yourself, now has the opportunity to be heard and to be expressed. The Rebbe says your nefesh is filled with hispalas. It's filled with excitement, screaming and begging. That's what the nefesh is filled with. Could you imagine if a person would hear one sound of the screaming of his own neshama when he's about to do an aveir? When he starts to do, if he would hear for a second the screaming of his own neshama. A person's nefesh is filled with tzarkas and his pileus and tzarkas and sachnun. V'lecha rak liten lo matza bekebecha she'aleh tezgala v'sizchazek. All you need to do is to give it a backdrop or a surface upon which it, within yourself, with which it could be revealed and could be strengthened or something to work with. Then you will know and you will feel the constant hisrakshus of your own soul. The way the hisrakshus really, you don't have to create, you don't have to wait for some excitement to come from Shemayim or some great, exciting, you know, earth shattering event to take place in your life. But you would be able to be magish to feel the srakshias that are in you all the time. K'may shehein, b'lay yislab shesatzmacha v'tzarach yusecha. B'lay hasak amagdir, as she'ifoseh ha'ta'eris. Without that sackcloth, that heavy sackcloth that darkens all the pure she'ifas of the soul that are constantly covering you up. There's a sackcloth that covers up the she'ifas of your soul. That sackcloth, that whatever it's called, but the inyanim of this world that are drowning out all the she'ifas ha-tahiris, the pure longings and she'ifas and yearnings of the soul. The Kevin Shibut Sanayna Bezalay Lahatel Tzivuim Epkudus Bilvad. The Rebbe says, look, my intention here in this life is not to give you instructions, just to give you some instructions and commandments. To tell you, think about this, and this is what I want you to say and I want you to do. And this don't think about, and this don't do, and this don't say. But that's pretty much, that's the chinuch that we all received all the years, right? That's pretty much the chinuch right there, that sums it up. That's education, no? That's the chinuch. Think this, say this, do this. Don't think this, don't say this, and don't do this. So the Rebbe says, that's not my idea. That's not my idea of how to bring this about. Everybody, every Jew, wants to think about and speak about and do good things. Rakis atoif. I'll call upon him right to sheyirtze. Certainly everybody wants to want at least the right things to say and to think about and to do. The koshalei levatzeyes v'tzani hatoif. It's very hard to carry out that ratzon hatoif. Or it's an enirak limtzei emtzayim bezaz Hashem. Eich nucha lasayis es Hashem nistavinu b'sarsenu b'mteshenu b'tzadikei chasideinu. All I want is to be able to find means. Bez Hashem, we all want to do the right thing, or we want to want at least the right thing. I have to find ways, I'm saying Bez Hashem, how we will be able to carry out the words of the Torah and of the Tzaddikim. Not just to say, do this, don't do this. Everybody wants to do the right thing, but we don't feel it. We don't care about it. Gam bezeh, ba'akaras hergeishiyas nafshecha, min ha'imtsayim shalah aleinu ladaber. Therefore, what we must talk about in this sefer, what we must learn about, is how to recognize the hergeishim, the feelings of one's own soul, min ha'imtsayim shalah, with the means and methods that of the soul herself. That's what we have to speak about, how to come to that. Not something, not do this or don't do this, think about this and don't think that, but to want it and to have a hergish for it. Va'ata hakshev ushma. Listen. Be'ezus hakel ha-mashiach yivach lach. And with the help of Hashem, it will become better for you. Im taschil b'srag shi'es haktanais asher b'cha la'itzion ul'galoysen b'kibbecha kifi she'yotzis menafshecha b'loy akmumiyus b'loy levushim megushamim. If you begin to focus on the little points of Yisrakshis, the little exciting things, and try to bring out and to draw out within you these little points of Yisrakshis without any crookedness or any levushim megushamim, any physical levushim. Boys and aktanos, asher lo yisakir oisam legamrei, af lo yisavdol behen ben kol anais gvul ben kol anais chalusha, ben im tzokal asher menafshcha hi zayis shehegashto, im taibes guvcha hi lecha velishta is yayin sarf, and so on, oz yakshalucha af lo yisucha lehen. The Rebbe is saying like this. Like many times, he says things that you wouldn't have expected. He says, like, if you're going to focus on these small little moments of hisrakshus, of feeling, of emotion, and to try to think about how to be megala, to reveal the source of these little emotions, the problem with those is that since they're not so clear and they're not so obvious, it's very hard for you to distinguish between the sound of whether it's truly a tzaakal Hashem that's coming from your soul, or whether it's tam ataiva, like we were talking about earlier in the parak, it's tam ataiva for eating or for drinking or something like that. So as yakshel chaf leisucha lehan, kevin shle sakirei son. In other words, there are certain little things that it's hard to distinguish. There's certain little feelings, little hisrakshias that could very easily be mistaken just for something of this world. You know, a loneliness for a friend, a taiva for a drink, a hunger for some food. When it comes to those little hisrakshias, it's very hard to know, it's very hard to recognize them and where they're coming from.
Let's go right there. He says,
he says, with these small hergeshim that you're not necessarily thinking about how to bring about, there's certain hergeshim that rise up in a person. Now, we know that every single hergesh comes from the soul, every one, even the tiny ones, comes from the nefesh. But when it comes to these little ones, to these tiny ones, the second that you feel these little ones, these like little tremors of emotion, they become immediately attached and connected to something of this world, immediately. Therefore, the Rebbe says you can't begin with those little times. You can't start and begin your avodah with the little hergeshim, because they get lost right away. They get drowned out. So you're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to grab them. You can't get hold of them, because they fall right away into thirst or hunger or friendship or family. They fall right away into like these, you know, into these inyanim of this world. So they're too thin. They're too.
Ephemeral.
Huh? Ephemeral. Ephemeral. Yeah. They're fleeting and ephemeral. And you—that's a fancy word. I like that.
See, so it's kedai to go to college.
So it slips between your fingers. You can't get it, because right away it gets into something. Right away you see a chava. That's what you felt. You felt the happiness of seeing your chava. So then you right away go and you sit and you schmooze and it's gevaldig, it's my chava. Or you right away feel, you know, that something has to do with having a drink or eating something. So it goes right away. It's just too subtle and silent, and it becomes right away chaptarain into something of the world. So to begin your avoid with those little emotions, it's not going to work, because they right away slip into things of the world, and therefore you can never, they can't be built upon, and they can't be exposed for what they really are. It's much harder to expose them. Tzaddikim, of course, but regular people can't really see those for what they are, because they immediately just like slip into things of the world. That's just how it is. Therefore, the Rebbe says you have to begin. You have to begin with atom bombs. There are certain big explosions where you can't mistake them. You know what they are. Big explosion. You know, by a special time, Yom Kippur, Shalosh Shudos, a Nigin, something where a Chasna, something, you know, big bomb, a choshev, a loud explosive thing, that you're not going to say, you know, when you're screaming at Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, so you're not on Yom Kippur. It's not that this is something else. You know what it is. Those explosions where it's clear that I know where this sound is coming from. There's no question at all. There's no suffix at all where this sound is coming from. This is coming from my neshama. You can mistake the little feelings for all kinds of stuff. It's coming from this, coming from that, coming from all kinds of things. I didn't eat for a long time. I had that. There was a mice a few years ago with a kid like this who was getting, the parents were very worried. It was also the meaning of going back to yeshiva, and also that the kid had this thing that he felt that he wanted to go to the mikveh. He wanted to go to the mikveh every morning. It was like a 16-year-old kid who wanted to go to the mikveh every morning, and the parents made a whole thing, and they ended up dragging him to a therapist because of this thing. In every other respect, he was a well-adjusted, but he just had this thing, he wanted to go to the mikveh. And the therapist came to the conclusion that they felt that the child is not eating properly. I'm telling you, my sister, show you. So what does that mean? What does that mean? If you have less eggs, then you're not going to want to go to the mikveh? I mean, I don't understand what that means. That's what he said. Yeah, if you have less eggs, you won't want to go to the mikveh anymore. There's an imbalance. You have an imbalance, which is causing you to have this irrational, erratic behavior, to get involved in this erratic behavior of going to, you know, bathe every morning, which is a compulsive, some sort of obsessive compulsive thing that you have. And there's something in the kid's diet. He's having too much chocolate and other stuff, whatever the, you know, whatever it was, caffeine, I don't know. And the therapist said, you know, what you need is a couple less coffees and some less chocolate, and then you won't go to the mikveh anymore.
It didn't work.
What?
I knew I was eating too many eggs.
Yeah, right. Too many eggs, that's it, Jake. The mixture. What is it? There's an imbalance in it. Your kids are right, he's got a bad diet. You think, Professor, you'll think you'll be able to help him? Because we're very worried about him. He goes to the mikveh. We're very worried. You think you'll be able to help him? Please. Just throw out all those Cokes. Throw out all the bottles of stuff. Get him on a healthy diet. Don't worry. We'll talk 2 weeks from now. That's $145. We'll talk 2 weeks from now. Don't worry. Your kid's not going to be in the mikveh. Give him 2 weeks. He's not going to be in the mikveh. I'm telling you, this is a Maaseh Shehayah. This was the prescription. To fix his diet, and he's not going to go to the mikveh. So when it comes to those little things, so a person, you know, oh, it could be this, it could be that, and people will say, it's your diet, there's a problem with your diet, that's why you're feeling this way. You need to eat differently. You have to have something else to eat. Well, you know what? You have parents that do that. If a parent, this is not once, this is many, many times. Kid wants to go back to that, so the father says, I'll buy you a car if you stay. Oh boy, that's a hard thing, you know? That's not fair. This kid, his whole life is dreaming of cars, right? A little boy from the time that he could, from the time that he could say anything is car. The first thing a boy says is car, right? He doesn't say Shema Yisrael, he says car. It's the first thing a kid, a boy says is car. And then the kid says, I want to go back for a second. And his father says, you know, if you stay. He goes like this on the side, he says, you know, if you stay, we'll work something out with the car you wanted, you know? Since Rahman's. Because the kid's just having this little bit of a thing that I want to be a Jew, you know? A little bit of a thing. It's not an explosion here. It's a little bit of a thing. And then the father drops a bomb on him, a car. And then the kid doesn't know what to do with it. Because the father's saying, if you have this car, then you're not going to need that anymore. Because you have a mishagas. You feel like you need to do and you need... So I'll give you a car, and the car will make you happy. And you just imagine you'll be able to drive up and down and, you know... make sounds and all kinds of things. It'll be a lot of fun, and then you're not going to have this. You're not going to have to bother with this hergish anymore, you know. Because then you'll have the car. And then you'll be happy. You'll be happy. You see how happy I am. I have four cars. So I'm very happy. Right? Then you'll be happy. Get your car. You'll be happy. You don't need this snarish kite running off someplace. Right? Then you'll be able to drive to the parade. The problem is, you know, whenever it gets to April, May, I start to. Please forgive me. I don't mean to be. It's not nice to say that. I don't mean it in a bad way. You know, to make a point, but it comes out like not so nice. He says, when it comes to the big things, when a person experiences mamish, he. A big inyan in his avodas Hashem, something big happens in his Yiddishkeit. So then he knows what it is. Then it's not a mistake. Then it's a sheaf and it's a tzakel Hashem. He knows that it's a sheaf and it's a tzakel Hashem. But kevin shebuchal kotzah hamatzim l'histareya. But since you don't have the matzah, that means you don't have the basis upon which this can take hold and develop and grow. L'chein eina hargosha mispashetes b'chol. You don't have the foundation upon which it could spread. In other words, there's this one unbelievably focused experience of Ni'ila. There's this one unbelievably focused experience of something like, you know, a person comes and he sees like a thing about a show about the Holocaust, or he sees something in a museum about the Holocaust, and his whole kishkas are filled with this unbelievable powerful feeling of I'm a Jew, and I'm going to be a Jew, and nobody's going to tell me that I'm not a Jew, right? And every Nazi and every Russian, every anti-Semite in the world is not going to stop me from being a Jew. And he's crying with this hergish and this of being a Jew and this feeling of being a part of the Jewish people. And that's a gewaltige, powerful, like laser beam, an explosive laser beam of a hergish. But then he goes away from the museum, right? He walks away from the show. But the problem is that he doesn't have. He doesn't have the mechanisms by which he's able to take that laser beam and to get it. Like, how do you get that into mincha? How do you make that? How do you work that into mincha? How do you work that into learning? He doesn't have. He has that unbelievable experience, which is clearly a scream from Hashem inside of him, and he knows that it is. That it's mamash at tzaakel Hashem, and it's a big sheifel Hashem inside of him. But he doesn't know how to make it be mispashit over his life. How do I get that into my life? So he'll walk away, and you know, he'll be a half hour out of the museum. He's still like a little bit shaken up about it, and then you know it's the same mincha. But when you daven with them, you take them on the heritage tours, all these different tours. They take them. You take these kids that they're spiritually numb, and you bring them to Auschwitz, and you talk to them, and you daven a mincha with them over there. You daven a mincha with them in Birkenau and Auschwitz. You daven a mincha with them, and even this kid that is so vite, is so far that he couldn't feel a hergish of anything except for a girlfriend, and you bring him over there, and he davens a mincha in Auschwitz, and he knows that it's a tzarkim Hashem that says you're a Jew, and everything in your life, that's all there is that you're a Jew. And then he's back on the bus 15 minutes later. And he's still a little shaken up. You know, he's shaken up. And then an hour later, and he's trying to figure out again how to get his arm around his girlfriend without the rabbi in the front row watching, right? An hour later. Even though at that moment, how do you take that? And how do you make it find a basis upon which it could spread out to his life. Because that's clearly a tzaka mehashem, la Hashem, it's from Hashem, it's to Hashem. That's what it is. But the Rebbe's saying is that we have a problem because he says, L'chein ein ha'gosha mispashet ispecha. It doesn't spread out inside of you. It just remains this big blast. But then that ends and it's gone. There's nothing doing. V'lo mislabeshes be'ez ha'machshove v'tzura. It's not able to be mislabesh, to take shape and form in a real thought. So the bus drives away from Auschwitz, and the kid for 2 or 3 minutes is thinking about that. Wow, what was that? And then after that, you know, it's not mislabesh. That feeling that he had back in the concentration camp, Nebuch, that feeling is not mislabesh in any machshavah. It's like, now what do I do with my life? Having heard that scream, having felt the explosion. So now he says to his girlfriend, one second. You know, I think we got to think this over. We have to think about this. What does that mean, what we just went through? No, where do we go with that thought? Or where do we go with that experience that we just had? You know, an hour ago, standing there davening mincha in the concentration camp. Where do we go with that? So, that it should be mispashek into a machshava, that a person should sit and... And there are people like that. There are very, very chashev young people and old people that are like that. But we have to learn how to do that. That it should be it remains like this ephemeral ghost that's sort of drifting around, and then for the rest of your life you're thinking, wow, that was something that in Auschwitz. Wow, you wouldn't believe what that was. What was it? I can't describe it. It was just unbelievable. But it's not mispashit to his machshavas, his diburim, and his maisim. It's just like this. The rest of his life, he's saying, "Wow, that was something that could have really made me into a yid, but it didn't. It could have, but it didn't." And because of that, it didn't become absorbed. That experience didn't get absorbed into your body, into your avarim, into your kishkas. It didn't. It wasn't mispashit. It just stayed like as a local blast, a laser beam that it went through everything for a second. But then it wasn't mispashit to your body, to your avarim, to tefillin, to mincha, to Shabbos, to learning, to avoda. It wasn't mispashit to sumira, to have to behave. Afterwards, he has no shaykhis to it. If there would be, I mean, I don't know who the tour guides are on these things, but can you imagine? Let's try to imagine he had like Rav Tzvi Meir taking on a Holocaust tour, and how that would be on the bus afterwards, after mincha with Rav Tzvi Meir, after mincha, then and then what would be on the bus? And then Vaita, if you get off the bus, right? And then after you get off the bus, and then you're with this tzaddik, and with that tzaddik, and with this tzaddik, and with that tzaddik, and there's a long histalshus. Not like we need to consider the historical implications of what we just saw, but it would be like an unbelievable balavoida from one day, they pass you over to the next. Today it's like a football, you get passed over from one balavoida to the next balavoida. Boy, would it be mispashi. And your whole davening, your whole learning, your whole life would be different. But what happens is, they go off and they come back and they're welcomed at the airport. And you know, what do you think now about Jewish history? Jewish history is it's very old, very old, very painful. What about your mincha? Same mincha. What bearings did your trip have? What does it mean to you for your mincha? Gone. But if it would be like that with the spilus, and that it would and the spilus would be kept up. So that's let's just so he says. Therefore, the slightest little breeze just knocks away that feeling, that big feeling that you have, but it gets blown away. We have to learn how to spread out the backdrop and the basis, so that they should be able to take form and shape. Attain lehen machshava v'tzir, how to give thought and to make and to draw out and to clarify. ומותר שלא תעסק בסרגשיוס כאבי הנפש שסורקס היא על כאבי הבגמר רק בשרגשיוס בהרגשוסיה שהיא שמח ועליזה תעסקל מסעדנס מסלהבס בהן. We'll talk about that next sentence again afterwards, because the Rebbe is saying that usually it's better to start with positive and simchadike explosive feelings, because then a person is more inclined to make it work. Mashayna came painful and dark explosive things of shuva, you know, you're less inclined to go with it. You feel more like, I'd rather not have bad stuff in my life. So we'll continue next time.